Okay, so I never have the headphones on in this ordeal, and I didn't realize that the music goes on, and it's like it's pretty catchy and kind of cool. So shout out to the intro theme music that I just played for a little longer than I probably should have. But we are back in the lab, LTBU, episode 15, if I'm not mistaken. I apologize, I'm still on Hawaii time because I was just fucking vibing, hella island boy, doing my thing, even though very sad what's going on in Maui. I was on Oahu, so I mean, people were like, well, by people, I mean Max. They're like, hey, you fucking come back and it starts burning. I wonder who started the fire.
Hey, man. But, two different islands.
I was on Oahu, and the fires are going on in Maui, and that's all, like, it's honestly really fucking sad. And prayers to everybody over there. Shout out to Maui.
Shout out, Maui. Maui no ka oi.
We're here with an unfamiliar voice, but a very familiar listener slash fan slash friend of the pod, Raymond John Torres IV.
Hello, hello, hello.
AKA Ray Us, Ray 808.
I made it.
Ray Sole.
I made it, guys.
Max is currently in rehab right now because the Johnny Manziel documentary came out and a lot of bad memories came up for him and he just fell off the wagon. No, I'm just kidding. Max is recovering from his very public ACL surgery that literally all of you know about because he just does not stop tweeting about it. So we're wishing him the best. I guess he had like he got the surgery like 1930 style. He got like a tube in his throat or something. Couldn't fucking speak for a while. But he's doing better. He's on bed rest right now. I told him I'll hold down the fort. And I know last week he was talking a lot of shit saying like, we're doing Carl tryouts, Carl replacement tryouts. So I'm just that kind of guy where I'm prepared. So I don't need to do tryouts. I have my guy here with me to fucking replace Max.
It's trouble in paradise, but I'm here, dude.
So Raymond, please tell the fans, tell the dogs a little bit about you. It's also an audio only episode today because the camera shit is just way too confusing.
And Max, I would have broken the screen. It's my fault.
Max is a nerd with that shit, so I don't know how to do it. But audio only today. It's going to be like a Q&A type little low-key episode, and then Max will be back next week, and we'll be back to our usual shenanigans. But Raymond, tell the people a little bit about yourself, a little bit about... I have a few questions I'm going to ask you, because I'm just a fucking good podcast host.
Can do.
But we just ripped the shot before this for the nerves, and it kind of made me like, whoa.
Feels like a Friday night. We both got work tomorrow. Does not feel like it.
Tell the people a little bit about you. Tell them a little bit of Angel's backstory, and then we'll just jump right into it.
Yeah, man. So Ray Torres at the Ray Torres.
Yes, sir.
Friend of Carlos and Max. Carlos mainly. been a while. Been around the boys for a while. Been listening to the pod for a while. Carlos is correct. This is episode 15, and I just finished 14 on my way here just to hear those tryouts.
Brush up on the dialogue talk about me.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Angels fandom was, I wouldn't say forced on me because it is a blessing, but born and raised in Anaheim, I'm within walking distance, but like a drunk walk back home to the stadium. I've done it twice, so that's the only reason I know that. It's about 6 miles.
Bro, drunk walks where you're like, dude. Okay, there's two types of drunk walks. There's like the miserable one where you're like, damn, I don't know if I'm going to make it home.
Yeah.
And then there's like the one where you're just like, fuck it, life's an adventure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to just fucking rip this walk and we're going to see what happens.
Funny you mentioned that. So, the first one was back when the Anaheim train station for the OG Anaheim locals, the Anaheim train station used to be right behind Hooters, which is like
R.I.P. Hooters.
R.I.P. Hooters, dude. R.I.P. Hooters, and that's something I haven't thought about in a long time.
We just glossed over that.
Yeah, this is just gone, which is like not that I was a regular attendee or anything like that, but
scumbag, I guess you were.
That's a whole other story, but...
It would be remiss. I would be remiss to not tell the world, tell the listeners, the squad, that this is your first ever podcast appearance of any
first
format.
So, any format.
So everybody, show my boy some love. Go follow him.
Very excited. I feel very blessed to be been asked to be on. There you go. That shot's kicking in right now.
There was no one else that I would have gone to.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
My dog. So.
But
go ahead.
Anyway, so first time walking home from Angel Stadium, it wasn't after a game. It was from that train station when it was behind Hooters. And I had gone to visit somebody down in like the San Diego area and took the train back and then didn't have a ride home. So I had to walk it from their home.
Somebody.
Somebody that shall not be named. You know who you are. Shout out.
Bro, if that somebody listens to this, then
that's tight.
We have reach that we didn't even know fucking exists.
Yeah. That's wild. But yeah, the other time was definitely after a game, and I think I was with people that I didn't really hang out with too much, and they did not live in Anaheim. So I was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's okay. I'm very accommodating when I'm drunk, apparently. And I said I can walk from here. That was miserable, but made it home. Obviously, I'm here. Been on too many walks, I feel like, in my lifetime. I see too many shiny things and just start moving. But
okay. Also, just while you're there, shout out to, because we're around the same age, but like a lot of our listeners, I feel, are probably in like the 18 to 24 range.
Okay.
And that's like the end. That was where walking like no longer became a thing.
It's not a thing. Dude, if you think about it.
Bro, walking's not a thing anymore, right?
People that are turning 23 this year were born in the year 2000.
Yeah, so then like by the time they were by the time they were going places, it was like, let's say they were 16.
Yeah.
So 7 years ago, Uber was already hot.
Uber was hot, yeah. Uber's been hot for, I would say, probably the last 10 years at least.
Yeah, so they're just like, walk?
Walking? Yeah. What is that?
Haha, peasant.
Dude, huffing it has that. There's some calluses on my feet from huffing it.
The grind of walking.
Yeah, walking. I mean, that was the only option for
99%
for a while, dude. Yeah. For a while, you had to learn how to walk, which I don't mind. I mean,
yeah, there's nothing that'll humble you like a good walk,
or
a seven game losing streak.
I know girls, but they call it the hawker walk now. Well,
oh my gosh,
it's not. Is it been there, done that, dude?
Is it
it's a hot guy walk,
bro? I need a hot angel summer. That's what I fucking need.
That would
need,
be
bro.
Fucking nice for once.
I mean, I'm still kind of, I don't want to say salty because I don't, there's enough of that on Twitter. We see so much of it. But I am realistic. I do think of myself as like yeah, on Twitter I'm very much like, so like we won, I think we won last night. So we're recording this. When it comes out, it's gonna be Friday. So today's off day as we're recording. Yes. But last night we got the dub for the second day in a row. And I tweeted like, oh, we're back. You know, like
yeah.
So I'm like one of those, but like inside I'm fucking logical. I understand the concept of like, yeah, we're this many games back type of shit.
Yep.
But I also am like, I think it's just from being a fucking battered sports fan. Like, all my teams Angels suck. Yeah. Angels, Lions.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, that's true.
So I'm very much like, yo, until you fucking tell me that number in that games back column is too high, like, I'm going to think we have a fucking chance.
Yeah, I think we got it, dude. So that's hard. I think that's the hardest thing about baseball season, too. And then anybody, I'm not going to claim to be as big of a baseball fan as you and Max. I don't, you know, you guys, I don't know how you guys hold it all.
I mean, there's
in
just,
your head
there's the, like there. Levels to it, but
there is definitely level to it
for you're sure. You're very much like you're way past casual.
Okay, that's nice. I was gonna consider myself casual. No,
so
that.
You're like, if there's like a middle ground between casual and so like there's like in the trenches, right? Which like Mike Moustakas has a 0.1 war since joining the Angels. Like, there's those guys that, which respect to them, you know, like they're fucking.
Hey, dude, yeah.
They do shit. Oh, I almost made a like Andrew Schultz joke. He's like, on one of the podcasts, he said something, asked the guy a question. I forgot who, but the guy is like, oh, yeah, I did this and this. Like, didn't you? And he's like, no, I got pussy growing up. Like,
yeah, exactly. So yeah.
I was going to make that joke, but like, I'm not trying to ostracize anybody. But
yes.
So there's like the people that are super in the trenches, mm-hmm. live for that shit. They wake up every morning and fucking refresh immaculate grid. I mean, I do that too, but
I don't even know what that is.
And then there's like the people that are like my uncle who sends me shit. Like, it'll be 3 p.m. on like a Tuesday, and he'll just send me a text like, "Otani's gone, huh?" And I'm like, hey, dude.
Hey,
like,
man.
Where the fuck have you
there
been?
There are like, other things going
that's
on.
That's right? What you're going to text me. Maui's on fire. And what you're going to text me, Otani's gone?
Exactly, like, dude.
It's so tough. You're in between that.
Okay, nice. I'm above knowing that the Otani future is not a speaking topic anymore. Yeah. Like, let's get away from this.
Get it out of here.
And, you know, and I also don't know war or
so whatever. That's probably for the best. But I do... I think you're a good, like, so the main reason why I brought you on the pod today is obviously because Max is out and we needed a second guy, but also because you are
get well soon.
Objective, you are like objectively a good hang, right?
So thanks. Like, try to be.
I love people that there's so like it comes down to the point where it's like you have to be able to enjoy the like little intricacies of life with me to where I consider you like someone I can rely on, right? Mm-hmm. So like a baseball game. Baseball game's not for everybody.
No.
Definitely not, right?
Definitely so not. Yeah.
If I can go to a game with you, like me and you have gone to a game, just us two before.
Yes.
Like if I can go to a game with you, spend time fucking, I mean, up until this year, three and a half hours of the game, you know, yes. Nine innings of grinded out fucking 1-0 victory.
Dude.
Then it's like, yo, that tells me something about you. I'll go to war with you, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So no pun intended.
That's why, yeah, I'll go to wins above replacement. With yeah. But that's number one, like, reason why I brought you on. But I also brought you on because you know just the right amount about the Angels and, like, you're super loyal to them.
Yeah, I have them tattooed on my literally arm. Literally have them tattooed. Yeah, I can't remove it now. It's tough.
So, excuse me, fucking shot kicking in. So I do. I want to kind of ask you a few little Angels based questions, and then we could just jump into the week that was and whatnot.
Dude.
So, do you have like a ideal, perfect pregame routine? So let's say like Saturday 6 p.m. game. You know on Friday that you're going to the game, so you're like, all right, tomorrow I'm gonna just kind of dictate my day around the game. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a little routine that you kind of like to follow? Or
I do. I have I think this season I made it a point to go to as many, we talked about this, going to yes. as many home stands as we can.
Yes.
I don't know how much we abided by that.
I fucking lied actually too when I
but
said
I mean that. We've tried though, like, but at least
4 month old kids
been so to, exactly
I get a pass. Yeah,
hey man,
and you definitely just by proxy.
Yeah exactly.
You've definitely gone more than me though.
I went
gone
on
to like four, and you've gone to like probably like 8 or 9.
I went last Thursday, was the last one on that fucking ninth inning grand slam.
Anyways, my God, I forgot that you were there.
Bro, it fucking hurt my heart. As I'm walking out. Anyhow, so we'll get back to that. I'm definitely a routine guy in general. So I have to, as loose as I can, you know, portray myself as and like go with the flow type of person, I am not. So, yes. So if I know I'm going to, let's say it's Thursday, I'm going to a Friday game. Thursday night, I literally have a go bag packed, socks, underwear, shorts, jerseys hung up. Don't fold the jersey. Hung up.
Never fold the fucking jersey. No way.
And shoes ready to go. And then it basically to the point where I have to think minimally as soon as I wake up and whatever, you know, go about my day, go to work. But I'm thinking about the game all day. Like, all right, you know, what stand of beer, what am I going to hit first? Am I going to hit a Colorado Kool-Aid?
Or am I
going to get, you know, the super tall Topo Chico that only exists apparently at Angel Stadium?
So that was going to be my next, I guess, like, question just regarding your fandom. When you get to the stadium, so, like, there was an infamous game that I went to with Max, and he asked this question on Twitter, which is pretty funny, but there was, like, an infamous game that he and I went to. It was like a work event, but like compared to,
I'm aware.
Yeah, you're aware.
Yeah.
Compared to like, I want to say probably every coworker compared to us, like me and Max live and die by this shit, right? Like,
yeah.
Like if we fucking go to the game, we lose. Like we're fucking mad about it.
Until, you're
like, you know, like
ruins other people your are day. Like,
oh well, wow. I mean, guess they play tomorrow. But he and I, like, we start getting after it, right? We're like tailgating, fucking around, going to the stadium. And there's a very, very distinct decision you have to make going into the stadium of like, what drink am I going to get first?
Yeah, dude.
Because not only does that dictate like how the night is going to go or like afternoon, whatever kind of game you go to, but like, so the reason I bring this up is because we have a group chat. I sent a picture of me with a double shot Don Julio margarita, and one of our homies,
that's
Mike.
That's not your first time,
bro. He's like, he sends it. He's like, oh, you're getting after it.
Yeah,
so,
dude.
So that's, I was gonna ask you, like, what is your first drink when you get into the stadium, if you have no obligations the next day. If you have an Uber, you have a ride home, right? Yes. Like, if all the stars align, what is your first drink going into the stadium? Are you going to rip a shot?
No, with full confidence and from the bottom of my heart, I will live and die by this brand, that Colorado Kool-Aid Rocky Mountain Cold. But the mounds is blue, baby. I'll shotgun a tall can as soon as I get one up. But you know what blows my mind is that I feel like the last game we went to together, I kind of mentioned to the bartender, I was like, bro, we rock, I think Angel Stadium rocks with Coors Light more than the Rockies, like, stadium does. And it blows my mind. Like, we advertise it everywhere. It's on the Big A.
There's a commercial that I believe is shown on Bally Sports of Blue Moon being created, like, at Coors Field or some shit. Like,
that's wild.
On, like, a fucking, some, like on a sunny afternoon. Like, a
wheat beer. No thanks.
You guys are not even repping your fucking Coors Light.
Yeah, I noticed that when we were watching the Rockies game, and it was not. It blows my mind, but.
I feel like you're also. Maybe not first drink, but you are not shy to throw a whiskey Coke
in. Oh, whiskey, whiskey diets.
A whiskey. Oh, my bad.
That's a go-to. And
summer
bots. Yeah,
summer bots.
No, there's like a, and it's weird. And there's a lot of other people that I would have never suspected to be a whiskey diet type of person, but it's not even about the calorie count. And this goes more scientific than I care to fucking talk about, but
war, right? You're doing the war.
Yeah. Beer. War of alcohol. Great. So, from what I understand, and this could be bro science, this could be frat science or whatever. From what I understand, the chemicals in Diet Coke mixed with whiskey cause you to get drunk faster.
Oh, fuck.
I don't drink it for that purpose. I drink it thinking that Diet Coke is better for you.
It's just science.
But it's just science from what I understand. And it's not to get drunk faster. It's just, I like the taste. But one thing that I kind of wanted to touch on is that I could be wrong. It might just be the fact that I don't order these things. But when did Angel Stadium start offering full bar, like mixed drinks, literally whatever you can think of, margaritas,
you know what's weird,
whiskeys?
Though? Like, those are kind of few and far between in terms of, like, there's a lot of, so, like, every, I feel like every stand that sells liquor sells beer.
Yeah.
But not every beer stand sells liquor.
Exactly.
So, like, I know I'm specifically thinking of the Bullet Bourbon one on the top of, right before you get to that right field pavilion.
Yes.
Like, by the bathrooms on
level.
That side.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you go up there and, like, and granted, I've never been one to be shy to take a shot.
Yeah.
But if you're just ripping shots at Angel Stadium, bro, you're going to be in for a long night.
It's going to be a long night. And it can get so pricey. Like, if I'm spending $16 on a Coors Light, I can only imagine if you're drinking mixed drinks. Because even the Coors Light patio, they offer mixed drinks. They have, I could be wrong, but they offer whiskey, tequila. I want to say it's Tito's, but they definitely offer hard alcohol at the Coors Light deck. And it's just, I think about that every time we go to the game, and people such as yourself, which blows my mind. You're my best friend and I love you, but I don't think I've ever ordered a cocktail. It's always been like a tall can.
So I'll get to the stadium. So, okay. Honestly, I was going to say this later on, but Saturday, August 19th, I think we're going to try to throw a fat ass tailgate at the stadium, preferably under the Big A. So if you go,
tell
on that
them
day,
why
it's going to be my son's first baseball game.
Tell them why, which yes, that's also a pinnacle moment in the kid's career. Please tell them why. If he's not going to say it, I'm going to fucking say it.
Tuesday, and then,
his birthday, his dirty 30, dude. Dirty 30.
I am turning 30. But
he's turning 30.
Washed.
Don't downplay this, dude. I think it's the hard thing about having a birthday in the middle of the week. So we're like, what weekend do we celebrate it on? Do we celebrate it prior?
Is it this weekend or is it next
weekend? Yeah. It's Dirty 30, Carl, on Saturday. Pull up. Let's tailgate a little bit. That's also, and I was going to mention that earlier, tailgating is
undefeated.
It's undefeated. Yes. It's the best experience being a sports fan.
And we're also a little biased because we're kind of on like the cusp of the USC.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Season. We got, hold on, I wrote it down here. We got 15 days till kickoff of USC football.
Okay, I like
and then we got 28 days as of today. Well, going on 27 in an hour and 20 minutes
yes.
of NFL football, yes. Lions Chiefs opening on a Thursday night. Maybe I can't wait. But yeah, tailgating is undefeated. And you can't, whether you're a sports fan or not, whether you're stoked to go watch the game or not, everybody has fun at a tailgate.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No doubt.
You know, if
even like for, and I mean, not opposed to this at all, but like a lot of good photo ops at tailgates.
Yes.
A lot of like first game of the season.
So stoked.
Hey girl. Oh. Like that kind of shit. So yeah, if you're down to go tailgate, post up a little bit. Tentatively, probably going to lock it in like pretty soon, but Saturday, August 19th, going to try to go to the stadium. It's a 6 p.m. game against the Rays.
Against the fucking Rays.
That's why I have you
God
on today.
Damn it.
But
the only other jersey I would buy if I wasn't such a...
Dude, what if they're...
If like, I didn't have to be an Angels fan.
What if like... So like Wander Franco is like the best prospect the Rays have ever had probably. Junior Caminero coming up, but what if like... His name was Wander Torres, and so it was like the Rays.
The Rays and the Torres. I just meant to be, dude. I don't remember when they switched to the jersey. I think I want to say it was like 2013, 14 when it said Rays across the chest.
Devil Rays.
Yeah, two Rays.
Yeah. Bro, Devil Rays are hard.
That was hard, dude. With the Devil Ray coming up,
they brought them back
a little
bit.
The teal and yellow
and the purple
fade and the yeah, that was dope.
No, they brought it back to like it's one of those alternate. I think the teams are allowed to carry. Four, I think they're allowed to carry like three, so they carry one alternate.
Mm.
So obviously home and away, and then they carry an alternate.
Is the City Connect considered an alternate?
I think the City Connect's its own thing.
I was gonna say, yeah.
So then I think you get home, away, alternate, City Connect, and if I'm not mistaken, like a throwback or some sort. So like we have.
Whites,
we have
reds,
whites,
grays,
reds, City Connect, and then we've worn like the 70s Knights one.
Yeah.
Like that's
we
just
wore the other night. We wore
it
like,
the other day.
Yeah.
So Tampa Bay wears that, the Devil Rays joints. I don't know why I remember, like, always remember Odell hitting a fucking tank wearing that fucking Devil Rays shit.
Devil Rays, yeah.
Like, dude.
That was a sick jersey, though.
I can do everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so just going to put a bow on that. August 19th, if you want to come post up.
Please
let's do.
Do
it. I'm going to have a lot of twisted tees there.
Please come with some twists, some tweez, dude. Shout out to Bustin' with the Boys because that's the thing. But we're sipping on twisted tees right now. And
so last thing before we just let it rip, do you have a favorite Angel Stadium memory?
That's weird. I've actually heard you guys ask this question before on the pod, and my mom will not agree with this. But so I played for North Anaheim Little League, and every year.
Shout out to North.
North, yeah, that's right. Every year we were the Angels, and then I want to say maybe once I was a Dodgers. And but yeah, every year North Anaheim Little League. And if you played Little League, I want to say it wasn't just North Anaheim. I think it was the majority of Little Leagues in the area. Mother's Day. There's always a home game on Mother's Day. I don't know why the schedule works out like this. I don't know why they do it every year. My mom hated it, but
she's like, fuck, we have
I want to
do
go.
What I want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So, those are some of my best memories. I mean, to memory, I probably can think about 2 days specifically where it was, you know, my mom had like a giant sun hat on.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I don't know, like all the kids that were born, you know, early 2000s and older or younger now. Back in the day, the cool hat was a sun hat, but then the top was cut out. So their hair, they could put it in a bun still. So
didn't want to fuck up the hair, but
didn't
still have
fuck
the protection.
The hair. Yeah. And I could still see my mom chilling in a chair, pissed off that we're there, but we're all walking around, passing the baseball around and the big A, and the dads are... You know what's so weird is that I don't think...
This is for me, right?
Last that's one. Yours, yes. Right. I don't think... Well, like obviously, we had no idea, but our dads were definitely drinking. Like, when...
And that's just... We were oblivious
to it. We had no idea. Like, our dads were 100%. Hanging around and, you know, tailgating for Little League stuff. Or even, like, high school games, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
They were sending beers. Because, I'm going to do it eventually when Kane, you know, starts... playing ball, and then you're like, hey, he has a game at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. I'm gonna have a pack of twisted teas on me in the parking
lot. So I did the math. We're just riffing right now, but we're gonna jump into Angel shit. When he's in high school, when he's a star quarterback of whatever high school
QB?
He attends. Yeah. Okay. When he's star quarterback of whatever high school he attends, has a million offers, whatever. I'm gonna be so he's class of 2041.
You already figured out that match.
Which is insane,
that's,
right?
Yeah, it's insane.
So Nick Saban, fucking send him my way.
Nick Saban might still be coaching, by the way.
Send the offers my way, please. But at that point, I will be I'll be like 40 when he's in high school. I'll be like 46 to like 49 ish.
That's wild.
So that's very, very realistic, like fucking fader aids. Like,
oh, for sure.
Turn up at the game territory.
My mom shared with me a couple memories of, like, you know, playing high school football, and I asked her later on in life. I'm 33 now. Jesus. But back, like, I asked her a couple years ago, I'm like, did dad drink at the games? She's like, are you kidding me? All the dads drink at the games. And I had no idea. Like, I'm on the field, you know, just fucking,
it's even funny putting people on their ass, like, but the dad's saying, like imagine, of course it happens, but like, oh my God, they have fucking Billy pitching. Like, pass me another. Give me fucking another fucking beer, dude. Yeah, like, give me another beer. Like, oh, we're gonna be here for a while, boys. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's gonna be a long day. So
I think that's awesome. I think your Mother's Day memory is pretty tight.
Yeah, that's tough. It is definitely some of my core memories of,
and also
Mother's Day Angel games.
Like the Angels, I know this is not necessarily the media, but like the Angels marketing team gets a lot of heat for
giveaways,
but they always, I think last like maybe 5-10 years in a row, they've been like fire tote bags or like,
it's been dope. I saw that.
They have a lot of cool shit. Yeah. There's mm-hmm. So I mean, shout out to the moms.
Yes.
Cause we wouldn't be here without you guys.
Shout out.
So fuck, Mama. I mean, we're here. We're already 26 minutes in. If you're still with us, I hope you are.
Please.
Let's jump into
don't let this tank, dude. It's my first time.
Nah, you'll be good. They're gonna like you. So we can get into a little bit of, I mean, most people probably don't want to get into the week that was.
Yeah, fuck.
We were on
2-1 against the Giants. It's nice.
Yeah, so we since we were last here, since Max was on the fuck, what's it called? The Zoom. It was like a panel Zoom. That was pretty cool, like how he incorporated a lot of people.
The auditions.
Yeah, the auditions, none of them panned out, sorry. But yeah,
tough.
Since that time, we have gone, fuck. So it was that day was the Thursday. That was the Grand Slam game.
Yeah.
So that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gone 2-5 since then. So we don't necessarily have to talk about all of them. I'm sure most people listening are probably very familiar with what the fuck has happened to us in the last week. But I mean, we can gloss over that. So we've lost. We got swept by Seattle, obviously.
Dude,
it was brutal. We have to discuss that. And we very easily could have been like a sweep. Like, it could have been.
They were relatively close game. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, Thursday we were winning, and then there was just that freak.
So that Grand Slam. So yeah. Estevez to that point had been, if I'm not mistaken, he had been 22 of 22.
I was going to say, 20, he was nice. Yeah.
No, I think he had been 23 of 23 to that point. He had just been automatic lights out. Like,
speaking of lights out, his entrance coming from the bullpen.
Yeah, he's so
I don't think I've experienced that in person up until that day.
That day, someone tweeted like literally minutes before disaster, like, you know, SpongeBob, like a few moments later.
Yeah.
So they tweeted, yo, this shit's fucking electric. Angel Stadium's the illest atmosphere ever.
I can't even explain to you that feeling because we were sitting in the 200s. So we were
rich.
Oh, hey, shout out Ant. Shout out Sandy.
Shout out Sandy Walls.
Yeah. Good looking out. So called gas for the free tickets. But,
the workplace plug. Yeah,
exactly. We're sitting next to foul pole in left, and when the lights came down and everybody brought out their phone, I felt like I was at a concert. Like, it was the most wild. And then he started playing Bad Bunny and it went nuts, but I was dancing. I might have been on a couple people's stories that night, but
it was
an electric entrance, and we're like, this is it. Like, we're not gonna lose this. Man, anyways,
so here's my one knock on Hawaii.
Thanks,
I've been very fortunate in my life to have been able to visit the beautiful islands of Hawaii multiple times. Not a flex. I'm product of parents that worked really hard to be able to take vacations and shit, and I've benefited from it. When you're in Hawaii on vacation, watching your sports team lose, you have an extra 3 hours to dwell on
middle
the fucking
of the day,
loss.
Dude. Middle
so,
of the day.
When Max is here fucking slandering my name, running my fucking name through the mud, saying Carl's on vacation having fun while we're here in the fucking trenches, or we're 0-6 while Carl's in Hawaii, blame him. I'm over there 3 hours behind getting fucking cooked myself.
Yeah.
So
it's tough.
When we get this fucking grand slam hit off of us to lose this game, it's like you guys see this shit at 9 p.m. I see it at 6. And I still got to go to dinner with my family.
You're like, I'm going to shotgun this Kona Light real quick.
And then put a fucking happy face on.
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, that game was brutal because it was 2-1 going into the 7th. And then in the 8th, our hero, Shohei Ohtani, the greatest player that's ever walked this earth, hits a home run to give us a little cushion. So 3-1.
Exactly. I had two kids. We were sitting in a cool section, so pretty open. I had two kids sitting next to me that drove all the way from West Hollywood.
God damn it.
One of the dudes sitting next to me, I'm not even exaggerating, had to have been 7 foot, if not maybe a little bit shorter. I follow him on Instagram. I look at his handle, but
just standing in front of you,
bro.
Is it Victor Wembanyama?
Might as well have been. We have Steven is our buddy's Sandy's cousin, right? Yeah. Sandy's cousin, and he's objectively that dude is tall as shit.
He's
right?
Like 6'3".
Everybody says that.
Yeah,
like
6'3", 6'4".
He might be taller than that. Maybe, he might be 6'5". I don't know. He's taller than everybody that we know, right?
Hey Steven, go play basketball.
Yeah, exactly right. So Steven said, "I'm glad I'm not that tall." That's how tall this guy was.
Holy fuck.
So anyways, we made friends. The dude shot me a Zin, even though I was 2 days clean from vaping. Upper Decky. Shot me a Zin. We ended up becoming friends. We were sitting there, and they literally only came to watch Shohei. And he hit that dinger, and it
makes everybody's fucking day.
Makes everybody's day. They're like, we're witnessing. They were telling him and his buddy were talking to themselves like, we came to watch him because this is the greatest player. They had to have been in their fucking early 20s. I don't know. I would have never talked like that, but like they were, you know, young kids or whatever. So when we watched that home run, we're like, this is it, you know?
It's so funny because Shohei has like obviously 2002, we won the World Series. Like even I was pretty young. Like you probably remember it a little better.
I do. I was at the parade. I remember the parade.
So Barry, I remember. And even my dad was not even that big of a fan in terms of like us, where it's like a loss is going to make or break his fucking day. He just was like, the fool has fucking Anaheim tatted on his back. So like, he really is just like, Anaheim, this is my team type of shit.
Yeah.
But my uncle, his brother, was like heavy duty, like, yo, let's go. We can need this shit. And I remember like the dialogue was like, let anybody else beat us. Don't let fucking Barry beat us.
Yeah, I'm not letting
him. And I think even like a couple times in that series, he hit a home run. I know he hit one for sure. He might have hit two. He hit one at Angel Stadium that was like a fucking moonshot.
Mm-hmm.
But Shohei has been getting like I don't want to say the Barry treatment, but like, dude, people have been pitching around him because there's no Trout in the lineup. There's no Rendon in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even up until recently, there was no Drury. So that stat line from that game, he hit that home run in the 8th inning, and it was single to right, walked, intentionally walked, and then fucking hits a home run, right?
Left,
so,
yeah.
I mean, the guy keeps breaking records. Like, there's another one. I have it on here, but another record. He's the first player, as of yesterday, first player in history to record 10 wins as a pitcher and hit 40 home runs in the same season.
Jesus.
So, I mean, there's more guys thinking they can be him now. Like, there's a couple guys in college. There's a guy, I think, that goes to Florida right now, and they call him, like, fuck, what are they called? Jack Tawny, I think.
Isn't that the point, though? Like,
but I think it's just now it's getting more like, oh, fuck, this guy's doing it. I think guys could always do it. Like, Michael Lorenzen, we're going to probably talk about him in a bit. He's always been able to hit.
Yeah.
But, like, for them to make the fucking rule of, like, Shohei's, like, nah, fuck the DH. Like, in the National League and shit, you know? Obviously, they change it to where it's universal DH now. But, like, the Shohei Ohtani rule where he can pitch and hit for himself. And then when he comes out of the game as a pitcher, he can still hit for himself.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking Ohtani rule. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, dude, there's a term or, like, a quote. It's like, you don't have to be the one who did it first, but you, like, just be the one that did it best. He might fucking be both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he might be the one that did it first and the best one ever fucking did it.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
We're kind of getting in that territory where it's like the guy, you're just like, yeah, he can't do anything that's going to fucking surprise me.
And exactly. Then, and living through, we are new shit. Like, obviously we're crazy spoiled, and in 20 years, you know, the conversations about Ohtani are going to be, you know, a little bit more, you know, sparkly eyed and talking about like legends and stuff. But
they're going to say he was fucking playing against plumbers, like way we say about Babe Ruth.
It's just tough. Like, it's tough being in the moment and just kind of realizing what you have and, you know.
Okay, stop. I'm going
to
get emotional.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
So, that day, one last little thing to put a bow on that game, 5-3 loss to Seattle. People were going bad on Estevez. And, I mean, I did a tweet, like, a couple of days ago. It kind of blew up, and I just said, the guy that DM'd Estevez ruined the season. So there was a screenshot that was going around Twitter where this guy basically just DMs him on Instagram, and he's like, you fucking piece of shit. Like, you fucking ruined this shit. How do you go out there and how you throw a fastball down the middle? And this guy just fucking, you know, so then Estevez responds, and he's like, basically, like, you're a fucking idiot if you think that I'm trying to lose. Like, I'm out there trying to win. Like, this is my first time fucking up. It just wasn't my day. That was 23 of 23 at that point.
Yeah, and I know. You guys, like, have talked about,
like, how the fuck. Like, if you, there's no other closer in the league, to my knowledge. Maybe I'm not a fucking baseball guru, but, like, even the best closers, like, who's that cat from Minnesota? Johan Duran.
Let's see.
Johan something. Sorry, I'm fucking sounding like I don't know ball, but. Yeah, that guy throws 103. Yeah, Johan Duran. He throws 103.
Fuck.
Bobby Witt Jr. hit a fucking grand slam off of him. Like,
that's wild.
So Estevez had literally been perfect. And so I know it's hard because that game was, like, pivotal in terms of.
It was. It made the whole series.
Positioning. Made a big deal. Yeah, flipped the series on his head, even though it was game one.
Made a big deal.
But yeah, I mean, definitely don't DM the players, please. Like,
yeah, bro. Like, I know you're angry, dude.
You can DM him, like, hey, great work, I love you, but, like, holy fuck, dude, like, it's not that serious to where you have to be, you're a piece of shit.
That's so crazy.
That guy DM'd him, said that shit. So the other day I was like, oh, the guy that DM'd the Estevez ruined the season, and a lot of people hit me up, they're like, Estevez ruined the season. I'm like, oh, bro, my god, bro,
take a fucking joke,
take a lap, please,
take a lap, come back as a new person real quick.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, man, I do appreciate how passionate of a fan base we are.
We are, and it kind of bums me out to hear when people say, like, you know, Angel fans, whenever it's their first experience with Angel Stadium or Angel fans, and they say we're wishy-washy. I was like, what do you mean, dude? You know, like, I've been a fan since I actually have a picture on my Instagram of my first ever game, and I was probably, like, I was 1 and probably 3 months, but, you know, you parents will say 15 months or whatever, you know, but, yeah, man.
6,483 million hours.
Yeah, blows my mind, dude. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the recent, I would say relatively successful. I mean, I understand, you know, we lose them or whatever, but I would say that the hype that we've had with Trout and with Ohtani and with Rendon, I know.
Allegedly.
Yeah. It does bring out, like, that love for the squad or whatever. And if you can't feel that, then I don't know where, you know, what game you're watching.
Yeah, and that's kind of where it gets dicey with people that say, like, oh, the fucking slappies, like, you just want to be positive, even though, like, fuck Artie, sell the team. Like, hey, I get the sentiment, but, like,
get it.
So people say, like, I'm not fucking spending a dime until Artie's gone, right? Mm. Until he sells. And that's valid. Like,
I get it.
There's the only way to hurt a millionaire owner, whoever, like,
billionaire owner,
like, to hurt their pockets, right?
Yeah,
but, like, it doesn't really seem like he's missing out on any money.
He's not mad.
Yeah, so
What did he give up, a $3.5 billion offer or whatever?
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck, dude.
That's
fine.
Where I'm like, bro, I'm gonna root for my squad. You might call me a slappy. You might call me a fucking. Yeah. You might say that I'm being a fool and stuff. Like, there's literally Angels accounts dedicated to, like, sell the team. Fuck this guy. Fuck you. So, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody has kind of come to terms with Shohei. Obviously, we want him to re-sign. We want him to stay, be an Angel forever. But people have kind of come to terms with, like, fuck, what if he leaves?
At what cost?
And I think, I mean, like, I'm a Lions fan, obviously. Calvin Johnson abruptly retired. His last season, they went 7-9. Obviously missed the playoffs, underperformed. But, like, if I had known that was going to be his last season, I would have. They could have gone 0-16 again, and I would have fucking cheered and watched every single game.
Pay attention.
I mean, I understand the sentiment. You want to put the team first. You want to get to the playoffs. You want to do shit that, I mean, you want to at least compete, and I do too. But it just kind of gets – the lines get blurred when fans start hitting up players, like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's crazy, dude. And, like, yeah. You act like they're not normal people, dude. Yeah. Like, he's getting paid to play a sport, and I get that. Like, you know, he's devoted his life to doing this. Do you think that he just picked up a baseball one day, and he's like, yeah, I can throw 100?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm down.
No,
throw 100, hit 500-foot home runs.
Yeah, that's not, it's not fair. And cut him some slack, dude. Go get some tacos or something, which I'm probably going to do after this.
Tacos after the games are fire. Oh, so, God. Just a quick... We kind of talked about that first game of the series a while. It was a real gut punch. It made it so that we really were like, yo, there's just no way, like, there's no way this happened, right? Like, we're just fucking pissed. And then the next night they come out, they lose 9-7.
Rough.
It was another close game, you know, but, like, fuck, like, 9-7, like, you think as a team, if you put up 7 runs, you're in a pretty good spot. Just don't give up 9, you know?
Exactly, so, yeah.
It was fucked up because it was like a back and forth kind of slugfest type of shit.
Well, Seattle opened up crazy, and then we're just like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah, that was so Reed. I think Reed got cooked that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reed got smoked. I think it was 4-0 first inning.
It was 4-1.
They scored. They scored four first inning. And then Renjifo comes up, hits a bomb, and then we bring it all the way back, and we tied it in the third, and then gave up 2. Tied it again in the fifth, and then eighth and ninth, like, kind of, I'm gonna say fell apart, but, like, you know, it's just, it was one of those where it was like, all right, don't even tie it then. Don't even fucking get my hopes up.
Yeah.
Angels Twitter favorite the Band-Aid, term is like, yeah, don't buttercut me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next two games were just kind of like closely contested bullshit games. I think 3-2, 3-2. Yeah. Both of them were 3-2. I mean, fuck, man. Losing to Seattle feels like it's, I know Max would agree. Seattle's just so fucking annoying they're like, huh?
I said miss you, Max.
fuck you, Max.
Fuck that guy.
But Seattle's so annoying because, number one, their fans have just been out of control on Twitter. Like, they just, I don't know where the fuck they got this bravery from.
Number one hated right now.
Like, hey, man, you live in the Pacific Northwest. Like,
yeah.
Bye. But also, like, we shit on them all the time, like, Mike Trout's your dad, this and that. You know, Shohei went there and hit the fucking tank. Shohei goes to this All-Star game. They lose the All-Star game and, like, oh, Seattle already wasted Shohei. He doesn't even play there yet. All that shit. And then they just storm out of the gate after the All-Star break. And I think they're on a 7-game win streak right now, which is obviously 4 of them were because of us.
Yeah.
But, like, fuck.
You're welcome.
The first game was the catalyst. Everything kind of fell apart after that, but
they look like beat the brakes off the Padres.
Yeah, they look like the team that everybody expected them to be right now. So, I mean, good for them, bad for us because we're fucking chasing them directly behind them in the standings. But I don't know. I mean,
what's a weird stat that I just found out lately? Me being a single guy, I don't know any ladies listening to this.
Oh, shit.
But Seattle was ranked the best city to be in if you're a single guy, like, per capita. So stop focusing on baseball and start focusing on what's really important here.
Yeah, because it's a fucking because of Julio Rodriguez. You know that meme, the guy's in the club and he's like whispering in the girl's ear. It's like,
oh,
did you know that Julio Rodriguez signed fucking for $1.6 million when he was 16 years old?
Basically,
fuck Seattle. That series sucked. No one here is gonna object to that.
Broke my heart.
And then we go. So there was, like, Friday the 13th, part one, you know, the one that captivated everybody. So then everybody says, damn, we need a sequel with Jason. Come on, like, I want to see. And then first game against the Giants happens. We're up 3-2 in the ninth, and God bless him, but Estevez comes up. And God, this one was not, like,
a tough rap lately.
This one was a lot different than that Mariners one. The Mariners one was just, like, yo, come on, like, grand slam, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This one was, like, so, like, he gave up a hit and then walked the guy, right? But then he, like, he hits that ball down the line that Grichuk is, like, very, very close to. If he laid out, he makes that play. I know he's probably not necessarily known for his defense, but, like, I don't think there was one hard hit ball that whole inning.
No.
And he just, like, and wheels fell off, you know? Yeah. Next thing we know, it's 7-3, and we come up against...
Sick.
Against their fucking demon that just Camilo Doval that throws 105 and shit. So,
sick.
I mean, that was the one where people were like, see, fuck Estevez. Like, I think that was the day I tweeted the guy that DM'd him to ruin the season. So, I mean, that was the one where it's like, fuck, man. Like, it's like the, what's the, is it Mean Girls? No, fuck, I'm tripping. It's Tyra Banks. When she's like, we were all rooting for you.
Yeah, so. Look, what was that shit called?
America's Next Top Model.
Shout out.
I'm watching the game, and I'm like, yo, come on, bro. Come on, we're all rooting for you. I'll die for you, bro. Like, we're all rooting for you.
And then what'd I say after that grand slam? I was like, fucking Emilio Estevez. Yeah.
His fucking brother. So then.
District 5.
Yeah. The next day, Giolito comes out, gives up... gives up three, he goes six, gives up three, but overall, like, a pretty good start. So we put up four in the first inning, which was out of this world. I think we had scored, like, three or less every game since that, like, 7-9 game. But giving him the run support early obviously helps. Every pitcher is going to be okay with going into the second inning, and they're up 4-0, you know? So
yeah, comfort.
It was his first home start. It kind of was – everyone was kind of, like, on eggshells about it. They're like, damn, I really fucking hope this goes well, because he was our big trade deadline grab, and I mean, he's like a likable guy, you know. He's like, he's very much like a to us could be the anchor to our rotation, right? And I know that the guys were talking about on the last podcast with Chuck and Nolan and them, but I think we're so desperate for, like, somebody other than Shohei to be good.
Yeah.
So, like, we've seen flashes with Reed. We thought we had Pat. I don't know if anyone's ever called Patrick Sandoval Pat, but I'm going to fucking call him Pat.
Yeah. Here we go.
We had Pat Sandoval, World Baseball Classic demon, and just comes out and, like, can't find the strike zone this whole season. So, like,
it's been tough for him.
Yeah. So, we've had flashes where it's like, oh, is this the other guy? You know, like, is it, like, you look at teams. Obviously, it's probably not the best example because they flipped them both. But at the start of the season, the Mets, you know, you had a clear 1-2 punch, Verlander, Scherzer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go to, like I want to say, I mean, fuck. Like, even Texas, they had, like, Dane Dunning was, like, the clear 2. And then DeGrom at the start of the season was the 1, you know. So DeGrom's, it's like,
nice, yep.
We never really had a clear 2.
Giolito's.
Giolito could be that guy for us, dude.
He's a large person, by the way.
Oh yeah,
he's 6'6".
Yeah, yeah. Him and Estevez are, like,
good lord.
In a fight, I need that.
Yeah, I'm gonna need both these guys.
But that's wild. Giolito pretty good overall. Six innings, 3 runs. I'll take that any day of the week. And then last game, yesterday, we get that 4-1 dub. Mike Moustakas, already fan favorite. Ooh. Resign him, give him a lifetime deal. Bro, fucking put
419.
Yeah, put his jersey in the rafters already, dude. So, that was sick. I mean, that was a not so quick little recap, but we do have a few fan questions or fan. I put a tweet out. I was like, "Yo, anybody that has anything they want to say, just drop it right here." So, we did get quite a few. I'm gonna try to, let's just do, like, rapid fire, because we've kind of been taking a little bit. And we have a few more things to talk about, but first one is just on the Mike Moustakas little topic. At the Angels blow, is Mike Moustakas the best player in baseball? Honestly, I mean,
yes.
It's hard to argue the way he's been playing, and there's been a lot of very good tweets. Mike Moustakas has done more for us in 4 weeks than Rendon has in 4 years. And, like, obviously it's hyperbole to a degree, but, like, bro, these moments... Obviously, it's been few and far between that Rendon has played consistently, right? But, like, Moose, the expectations we had for him versus what he has delivered is, like, night and day.
Dude.
Like, I don't think anybody expected what we've gotten from him. Like, we got him, and we got Crone, and it was, like, cool, you know? Like, I was guilty of it. We made, like, the, oh, haha, hope he plays like he played in 2014 in Anaheim, dude. Right?
Yeah.
But he has been. He's been fucking sicko mode. He's been a demon. Last night he hit that 3-run tank, and then he makes a great play at the hot corner to seal it.
Yep.
So, at the Angels blow, short answer, yes. Long answer, yes, he's the best player in baseball.
He is. Do you think that, like, I don't know if this could just be being an old fuck, but do you think that his experience, what he's been in the league since 2011,
yeah.
Do you think that he's, like, that kind of presence in the
absolutely.
In the clubhouse?
Okay. So, like, by all accounts, he's been very vocal. He's been a leader. And, like, that was one of the things. Like, you mean to tell me this guy's been here 3 weeks and he's already the clubhouse leader?
Yeah.
But, I mean, guys do.
That might have been what we needed to do.
That's what we thought we were going to get from Rendon, I think. Like, a guy that got a ring, a guy that's been around the block a little bit. And granted, Moose is a little older. He's been on a few more teams than Rendon. But, I mean, a guy like that, absolutely, we should re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
We need him to, even if, like, he can platoon with somebody. Yeah. To have him around, to have him just in the dugout, in the clubhouse with the guys, like, obviously he knows how to win. He's fucking been there. He's got a ring, you know, like.
He's got a ring, yeah.
So, I mean, that could be our, let's say, doomsday Mad Max Fury Road type shit. We don't make the playoffs. Wheels fall off. He would be, like, the bright spot of, like, we found a diamond in the rough type thing.
Yeah, him, yeah, right? Yeah.
Like, something that nobody expected. And for him to just do what he's done is incredible.
Love you, Moose.
Love you, Moose. We have, okay, we have Go Kings Go at Abu 198011. First name, a lot of numbers. Who manages the Angels next season? Honestly, maybe controversial, maybe hot take. I think Nev is back.
I mean, I don't see why not. I don't think any of this is his fault, the downsides. But I could be wrong. You know, Phil seems like a. Obviously, I'm gonna miss Mike, but Phil seems like a good fit.
Are you a Mike Socha truther?
I don't know. I think it's just my. I mean, that's born and raised and having to deal with it for so long that it's just I associate his fucking face with, you know, the organization or whatever. Yeah, but
that's true.
Phil seems like, I don't know. I like him. I could be wrong. I could be way off. Too,
and I do like that he, it kind of has become comical to this point, like how often he gets thrown out. But, like, I mean, he rides for his fucking team. He rides for his dogs. And, like, as much as you want to put blame on him, like, dude, that period between Toronto to, like, 3 days ago, where the team was, like, 10 for 68, yeah, runners in scoring position. What the fuck do you want him to do there?
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
It's like, oh, hey, Andrew Velasquez, go hit for Shohei.
Yeah.
Like, no, there's nothing you can do. So I do think some of his decisions are a little questionable, some bullpen usage, some like, hey, what the fuck are you doing there? But overall, like, he's a player's coach first and foremost. He goes to bat for his guys. He's loyal, obviously, to his team.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he seems like he takes accountability. Like in most interviews and stuff, he does the whole, like, that's on me type thing. And I know you can only do that for so long before people catch on and they get pissed and like, all right, man, shut the fuck up, make something happen. But I do feel that Nev is a player's coach and he does have the guy's best interest. And, like, obviously he fucking wants to win. What manager wants to lose, you know? So Go Kings Go. I think Nev's back. I think Raymond thinks so, too.
I do think so. I mean, and we have to realize, kids, this is his livelihood. It's his job, 100%. Dude. Like, why would you wish that on anybody, bro? Imagine waking up tomorrow and like, hey, you're fired because you're not good at what you do.
Yeah.
Which it could happen to any of us. Imagine just your world crumbling or whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's to that extent, but.
Hopefully he gets a mohawk like Joe Maddon. We had two similar-ish questions. One was Saint Show season at Lakers NOLA, and then Goose at Goose RMCF. It, essentially, the questions are like, what are the chances that Artie sells / like we tear it down? And Goose said, and is the value lower than it would have been last season with Ohtani most likely gone and the collapse post deadline? The guys last week on the Zoom kind of touched on it a little bit. I don't know what we like. We don't really have much to sell. Like, we can't. Yeah. We're not going to sell Trout. Not going to sell Rendon. You know, we're not. Like, those are our two big, big contracts.
Nobody's going to pick them up anyways.
We have a ton of rentals, like Lucas, Moose, CJ. You know, like, it's a lot of rentals. And, yeah, we have a few young guys. Like, oh, Hoppy's going to be back next season. Neto, we have them under. I fucking hate saying control. It makes me feel like they're a slave or something.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
We have them under, like team control for quite a while. But, I mean, fuck, like, I think that the Angels, so there's, like, two, I have, like, 2 points on this. Number one, the Angels will always be a desirable organization because Southern California.
Location, no matter for sure, 1,000%, yes.
You can say, like, the Dodgers' little brother, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a fuck. Any guy that's been playing in Milwaukee or fucking Cincinnati, you tell him, hey, you want to play in Southern California and live in, on the beach? Like, oh, let me think about that. Anybody's going to be down. It just depends. Do you re-sign Shohei? Do you, like, I don't know. And all this money shit is way above my pay grade as a non...
As a poor person?
As a poor person and as a podcaster that brings in no income from this.
Yeah.
But I do feel that, like, I don't know if we have anything to sell, you know? Like there's the burn it down type shit, like rebuild. Mm-hmm. If you rebuild, what, you're going to rebuild with maybe Mike Trout's last two quote-unquote prime years, you know? Like, and we've already seen a decline, but you go Trout, you go Rendon, and then even, like let's say you do resign Shohei. You're not going to rebuild.
No.
Like, what the fuck
just
is he...
keep going with what we have.
What is he
going
to fucking do? Yeah.
More rentals.
I mean,
fuck, I don't... For lay fans or people that don't really... That know who the Angels are, but they don't know a lot of history. Prior to this, it was Disney. We were owned by Disney. By Mickey Mouse. And
Mickey Mouse Moniac.
Yeah, which is a wild stat that I kind of just realized. But Artie's owned the team for 20 years. It's been 20 years this year.
Yeah.
Sir. That he's been, you know, been the owner and
with what to show for.
With what exactly, with what to show for. He bought the team the year after he won the series. So we talked about this kind of earlier off air, but he was offered somewhere in the $3 billion range and he said, no, I don't think that the price is gonna go down. That was, I think that at the time that he was offered that amount of money, there was an assumption that the Angels were going to have probably worse season that they're having right now, because we still have hope, which is wild. Usually at this point, you know, approaching September, we're just like, all right, you know, football season's starting, we don't have to watch these games anymore. But
and amidst the bad luck that we've had,
exactly,
I mean, the bad luck always do, but like it's been crazy,
the injuries and all that bullshit. Yeah. But I don't think that the stock drops. I also don't think he sells. I think after the, and kudos to all of you, but the crazy reaction that we were going to have to Shohei, you know, being shopped or being traded, I think that because we were so outspoken about it and how it was almost inevitable for a little bit and how much it was going to break our hearts, I think that he kind of realized, like, all right, I might still have some money in this team, and that's why he didn't, you know, pawn him off or whatever. But going from Gene Autry to Walt Disney to Artie Moreno, I think the next up in ownership is going to have to...
Elon Musk.
Dude, it has to be on that kind of caliber kind of person. Like, somebody comes in, I think we're probably still in that high $3 billion range, just under $4 billion, which is an absurd number to think about, but it has to be somewhere, you know, somebody in that price range, and I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about, like, I think it just comes down to, so, like, obviously Artie said, put out the statement, he's exploring the sell the team, right? Everyone was like, oh my god, rejoice, yeah, the fucking Satan's gone. But last minute he pulls a plug, he says
no.
He goes full Leo DiCaprio and fucking Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not fucking leaving. So, obviously, everyone freaks out about that. But we're like, hey, it is what it is. We're not going to stop rooting for this fucking team.
Yeah.
I think my conspiratorial mind, tinfoil hat, I think he just was like, there's no way, win or lose. So, I think he turned into, like, the captain of a sinking ship.
Mm.
Where he's like, there's a chance that the ship doesn't sink. But if it does, I'm going down with it. I think he was absolutely committed to being the last season with Shohei Ohtani.
And then after this,
because if he was like, okay, let's say he sells the team, right? Mm. Midway through the season, whatever the fuck the sale goes through. And then 2 months later, Angels are the number one seed. They go,
they go on a 2002 run.
Artie would not have been able to live with himself.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the guy has an ego. We've seen with the Dodgers trade that he said, fuck that, they're taking too long. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Has an ego, has like a kind of mysterious sort of like doesn't talk to the media, has like this aura about him where he's just like, I'm kind of too cool for shit. Like,
he definitely has that, and I'll definitely, you know.
He has like the old man.
Agree.
Like,
it pisses me off, bro. Yeah.
The the old man, like, it's like, it's like growing up. I'm sure your dad told you too. Hey, what the fuck? Why? Because I said. Because I said so. So, oh my dude. God. That's like Artie Murray.
Oh
like,
my god,
Artie, why aren't you selling the team?
So annoying.
Because I said so. Like, so I think he just kind of was like, "There's no way I'm fucking going down with without Shohei." You know. So if we make it with Shohei, it's because I'm here. If we fucking don't, whatever. I already haven't made it with him for so long.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I don't know, dude. He's also the reason why we are labeled Los Angeles, and we're literally 30 miles away from a county line. But whatever. I know. I remember my dad and I speaking of my dad. We boycotted for, I want to say, at least two, if not three seasons once the name changed. So, do you think the new owner, whoever it might be, changes it back to Anaheim and gives us back our identity?
I don't know, dude. I would like that. I think it would be cool to see Anaheim Angels again.
Yeah, it would be very nice.
I don't know if there's very many people that would. I mean, like,
I don't think people care anymore. I care, but.
Well, no, but I want to say, like, I don't think there's many people that would be opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there are the ones that are like, LA, well, we're in the greater LA area, but it's like, fuck, bro. Like,
we're not LA. We are not LA.
Yeah, and I would love that. I mean, there's people that still refer to them as Anaheim Angels on Twitter and stuff, too. So
I remember we were at Golden Road. Shout out Golden Road across the street.
Shout out Golden Road.
We were at Golden Road when the news broke that we were dropping the of Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. We were at Golden Road drinking beers.
It was just so silly.
And
like,
we're like, what? What is happening?
It was just such a, like, I don't know. I guess it obviously was a money grab.
Yeah, 1,000%, and I get it. You know, Los Angeles is very recognizable. The only people, if you ever say Anaheim, people are like, oh, so you live by Disneyland? I mean, yeah, technically.
Technically, yes.
Technically, yes. Like, I can see the fucking fireworks from my bedroom, but yeah, it was definitely a marketing thing, and I get it. But
so, just to kind of pivot off that, and then we'll get into the next question. Do you think, like, is there anything that the team could do for you to stop being a fan?
No.
It's in too deep at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm in too deep. I'm, you know, been a fan for let's say 32 years since I'm 33 now. So
because you see a lot of things, like I know I'm a little more active on Twitter than you because I'm just fucking.
Yeah.
I'm a masochist. I like just seeing shit that pisses me off. But there are people that are like, okay, that's it. I'm done with this team. And, like, if you really are, I mean, fuck, props to you, I guess. You know, I wish I could be that way in terms of, like, I'm just going to go root for someone else that doesn't make me this sad and piss me off this much. But, yeah, I think about that sometimes. Like, man, is there something I could, like, it would have to be, like, the Angels have been fucking trafficking people or something, you know,
something,
like,
wild. We got tied to something crazy,
like,
yeah,
that, right?
I will say that my intrusive thoughts started kind of stirring when the rumors of moving to Long Beach started coming about, and I kind of mentioned earlier I have a California Angels tattoo on my right arm. It was like probably the second tattoo I ever got, and at those moments in like my down and out moments where I was like, they better not move us over there, there was a few times where I caught myself thinking about, like, what am I going to cover this tattoo up with?
Oh, fuck.
And, like, that was the only moment where I was, you know, down bad, and I was like, if they do this, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
But no, other than, yeah, literally child trafficking, then it would have to be something pretty, pretty big.
Yeah, it sucks. We're fucking in it to hopefully win it eventually, but we're stuck. So, yeah, Goose and Saint Show season. Sorry if that wasn't the greatest. Like, what are the chances already selling and whatnot? Do we tear it down? But, I mean, we don't really know, you know? Like, it's.
There's also a super cool, like, that Anaheim Live or whatever it's called. Like,
the concept is sick.
The concept is dope, and we're probably going to be, like, 60 by the time it's done, but it looks dope. So they have to keep the Angels.
I'll have my kid take me.
Yeah, exactly. Kane's taking us, dude. He's like, hey, I'm going to take my dad and. I don't know what he will call me. He'll still call me Theo at that point, I guess.
Uncle.
Uncle Ray. UNKO.
Okay, so we'll start ripping these a little bit because we have quite a few, but I like this one a lot. It's kind of something that's been on our mind. We talk about it, like, every time we go to the game, but Luis Barba at El Barba 1908, he said, how would you guys try to make a consistent, better atmosphere at the Big A? I absolutely love this baseball club and will stand by it no matter what. Cool, kind of like what we were just saying. But fuck, our stadium is too dead, in my opinion. Away fans and teams feel a little too comfortable at our house. And I do wholeheartedly agree with what he's saying. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, I mean, we went to the Yankee series. Red Sox fans come through fucking crazy. Obviously, yeah, Dodgers, you know. Yeah. Like, even Houston fans have been getting a little comfortable.
Yep.
But I think the big knock has been, like, too family-friendly, a little bit too, like, Disney-esque, you know? Like,
yeah.
And while I do, I mean, I'm just talking about taking my kid there next week for the first time, I do think it should be relatively, like, all ages type shit. Like, bro, you're out in the wild. Like,
it's true.
Number one, what my dad taught me since I was a kid, you can't expect people to behave the same way or to be raised the same way that you were raised, you know? So, like, there's going to be some wild boys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fan, you have to kind of just realize that that comes with the territory. But also, I mean, like, what do you want to tell your fans? Like, beat up all the away fans? Like,
yeah, dude, we don't want to be. We don't want to. I personally don't want to be labeled as one of those stadiums.
I don't think so either.
I've never wanted to do that. I remember in the day, and I'm sure you remember it too, back when we actually had that rivalry with Oakland. As a kid, I remember.
Shout out Dallas Braden.
I remember as a kid, like vividly, like it could have been yesterday. I might have been like 11. Going into the bathroom, and we still had troughs at the time, so urinals were a luxury, so we used to have troughs back in the day. But I remember seeing Angels and Oakland fans just throwing blows back then, and my dad being with me, and like, he's letting me watch, like, he's not freaking out, like, you know, thinking that I'm gonna get hurt. He's kind of letting me watch, but he's like, all right, come on, let's go. So I mean, back in the day, it was a little bit more heated. I think when we were coming off that World Series hangover, for a couple years, that pride was there, and it wasn't as friendly as it is now.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, at the same time, like, we're all paying money to go to this game. If people are getting crazy, people can get dealt with. At the Yankee game, we were there was these kids. So there was this bigger kid, and then there was a kid next to him who was also his friend, who was talking to a girl. So I respect him a little bit more, but he shot me a zin, and I was like, hey man, you guys are good. And they were both, I think one was a Mariners. No, not Mariners. Hell no.
Blue Jays, I think.
Was it Blue Jays? And the other one was wearing a Brooklyn jersey. Yeah. And he said, this isn't a Dodgers jersey. So he was wearing a Brooklyn.
Dumb fuck.
Yeah. He was, a Jackie Robinson jersey. But that was the kid that was being a dumbass, and he was talking a bunch of shit. But I was sober. So I was like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to get in this kid's ear. But his friend is the one that gave me his in. And I was like, all right, whatever, man. Let these kids slide or whatever.
I think there is something to like a quick little, like, hey, watch your fucking mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people in that moment.
That's all it has to be.
And I'm not fucking promoting, hey, fight at the stadium. I think that's the stupidest thing ever. Yeah. Don't get in a fight. Don't go to jail. That's so dumb. But also, like, people saying shit about Otani. Like, hey, watch your fucking mouth.
Watch your fucking mouth, dude.
See what they say, you know?
Like, yeah, and he was that kid that I'm talking about. Yeah. He was saying that, you know, Otani's overrated. I'm like, bro, you're obviously you can't mean what you're saying right now. You're just trying to get a pop out of somebody just because you want to be a shithead. But yeah, I mean, and also core memory of mine that I'll never forget from Angel Stadium. I'm sitting up in 400s somewhere over by right field line up there. My dad bought the cheapest tickets he could buy that day. And I remember this fan we were playing Seattle, and he yells at Ichiro. He's like, Ichiro, kill yourself. And I was like, yo.
Have you lost your fucking mind?
Have you lost your mind, dude? I'll never forget that memory or whatever. But it hasn't always been like this. But at the same time, I don't know. We don't have to always, you know, be truchas.
So, I mean, Luis, I guess to kind of try to give you an answer, I don't know. I mean, shit, maybe you do a few more, like, adult-centered nights, you know? Like, how they have, like, they had Japanese Heritage Night. Yeah. They had, like, Pride Night. Obviously, all teams have Pride Night. They have, like, I want to say they have, like,
they have all the college nights. They have Fullerton, Long Beach.
They have, like, the country night, Chapman, right?
Country night.
So, I mean, I think all that stuff is cool, but maybe, like, like, Gooby has this joke about, like, singles night, right? Like, fuck it, have something like that, you know? Have, like, singles night. Have, like,
go to the Budweiser patio if you're looking for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or have, like,
good luck.
Have, like, fucking, I don't know, man. Like, have adult ish
fight night.
Have like cocktail night. Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I know all something. That shit has to be ran by the higher ups and whatnot. And like, I think the word is that Artie likes to promote a family friendly environment because obviously kids don't pay the bills. Like the parents of 2, 3, 4, even 5-person households are the ones that bring 5 people to the game, buy 3 cotton candies. You know, they buy their, bro. They buy their partners 2, 3 cocktails.
It's a $300 night, no matter what, dude.
So I think that's where it's like, no, keep it family friendly and whatnot. Yeah. But I mean, I agree. I would love the fans, the away fans, to not feel as comfortable as they do.
If you do get in a fight, let us know how lenient the rules are. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you out for life, or is it just for the week or the series?
And for life, or just against that team?
Yeah, that's fine, dude. Take that.
Okay. Rapid fire. I know I keep saying that, but N194 at One Hard Liquor. Great. Great handle. Oof. Can the Angels sign another high-profile starter if they're able to keep Ohtani at $50 million a year? They're already committed to Trout and Rendon. Not even the Yankees have more than 4 guys who make $20 million. In parentheses, I'm treating Ohtani as 2 players in this scenario. Okay. Dang. Very good question. I'm very sorry. I am not good with this money shit. I just think... signing show, there's going to have to be, like, how there's an Ohtani rule, there's going to have to be, like, an Ohtani player rule, like, how he counts. He has to be able to count as, like, 2 players or something. Like, they're going to have to change something like that because, I don't know, like, is it fair for Shohei to go against, like, the total salary? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I don't know, like, $50 million a year is like, oh, fuck. Like, I think Rendon makes, like, 35, and that's even steep, you know? So, like...
That's
crazy because if you
pay... That is wild.
You pay Shohei $50 million a year, you're probably lowballing him. But...
Yeah. We've seen what he can do.
Can the Angels sign another high-profile starter? I've seen people that are way smarter than me in this aspect talk about re-signing Giolito and whatnot. So, I want to say it can be done, but... Fuck, I mean... I know Anderson's locked in for at least 2 more years. We have Sandoval. We have... I don't know about Griffin Canning's situation. And I think Chase Silseth is under a few more years of team control. But, yeah, I mean, fuck. N194, I would love to keep Giolito or sign another high-profile starter. Rip Doom at IR0... It's like IR Rodriguez...
Oh,
nice. Matt Weiss, that's the question. So
he's Matt Weiss, question mark.
Pitching coach for everybody who doesn't know. I don't know, man. I mean, fuck. We just saw Lorenzen. Shout out Michael Lorenzen, threw a no hitter. He left us. He was pretty good with us, but then left us and just glowed up.
You know?
Went to the Tigers, was balling, was an all star on a shitty team. Goes to Philly in his second appearance as a Philly, first home start, throws a no-no.
Apparently, it was the first time he ever wore Vans in a game. First time ever.
He's never worn Vans cleats before.
So fucking annoying.
Hey, Rip Doom, that's a very fucking good question.
That is a good question.
So I'm going to let other people handle that. I'm probably going to retweet that and just let other people handle that. Jose Medina at J Medina Photo, calling all Angels. Until they change that quote-unquote hype song, the Halos will never win.
Come on,
man. I don't know, man. I feel you. It's like it's kind of like corny and whatnot to some people, but... I think it's so synonymous with the team now that it people is. Are just like, calling all you.
Calling all you angels.
So, I mean, fuck, that might be the case. We might be doing this podcast in 10 years and we still haven't won shit and they still have calling all
still angels. Holding on to it? So, that'd be tough. Say, is the Rally Marty, Monkey please. Dead? The actual physical one, he probably is, but he's probably super dead.
Bro, we need like Caesar from Planet of the Apes, though.
Please,
like a Rally silverback or something.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. Could we switch to like an ape maybe? Or like gorilla?
All right, next one. At Swilly Sports. She's dope on Twitter. I think she like writes with Angels Win. Angels Win, friends of the pod. She says, if Ohtani's gone, who do you start to build the franchise around? And then in parentheses, with winning and marketing/selling tickets in mind. And why? So I think the easy answer is Zach Neto.
Oh, okay.
Because he's 22. He's probably not the best look saying this while he's just hurt on the injury list and shit. But he clearly, I think stuff has come out that he's like a very vocal, or he's like definitely taking a leadership role, and he's only like 22.
Mm-hmm.
We always make the joke, like, this guy was playing high school baseball like last year.
Almost literally was. Yeah.
But... I think he's he's a easy one. And then we also were talking to a friend that's like works for the organization about how his family being so active on Twitter kind of fits in there. And both of his parents are like really funny. Like his dad's hilarious on Twitter and his mom is very much like, yo, let's go, like fucking Halos. Like this is our team. We can do this type shit. So I think somebody like that whose family is so active on social media, it's very easy to get behind. Mm-hmm. Like Neto's a baller, shortstop, premier position on the field, you know? And I mean, I don't want to say you start to kind of like go away from Trout, but like it can be somebody else besides him.
Yeah.
And this is all hypothetically with Shohei gone, you know?
Yeah.
And then, hey, fucking Moosey. Let Moosey be the guy for a while.
Let Moosey be the dude, man. Even though him and Trout have been in the league probably the same amount of time.
Forever.
But, yeah, man.
Do you have a different guy in mind?
No. I mean, I think that's a valid. I think the
I mean, I want to say Mickey Moniak, too, but.
When you mentioned the whole social media thing, like, I mean, look how, you know, this day and age, you know, who's going to be not louder. That's not what I mean. Not. You know, just being a loud fuck. But you have a presence for this team and you're repping this team. And who's going to, I don't think, Mike's 32 and not that that's old or anything, but.
Yeah, it's washed.
You know, he's got babies, he's married.
No, 31.
Is he 31 or 32?
I think he just turned 31. Oh, no, you're so right.
Hey, man.
He turned 32 last week.
I'm older than you, Michael.
Happy birthday to him.
Yeah, happy birthday, Michael. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's within his wherewithal. Just he's like, bro, I'm running low right now. Busy so
building golf courses and shit.
Yeah, exactly, dude. If I ever get the opportunity to golf that golf course, I don't give a shit if I'm gonna fucking hit, you know, like a 120 on that course, but I'll still love every moment, every stroke. I'm gonna lose 6 leaves on that course.
when I'm down. Okay, so yes, Willie. Neto, I think, is the easy answer. Maybe Moniak. Neto. I mean, I wanted it to be Sandoval, too. Like, I was going to get a Sandoval jersey this offseason. And with all due respect, kind of glad I didn't. But, yeah. I mean,
can I still get an Ohtani jersey? I've put it off for so long.
You probably can't. Just wait till it's $59.99.
Yeah.
next one. Rip Doom did another one. But we already answered his other one. Okay, so AL West sneaky. Is it is the AL West sneakily the most competitive division in baseball? I mean, fuck. You have the AL East. You have the AL Central is competitive because they're shitty. Like, they're all pretty shitty. So I don't know if that counts. The NL West is pretty fucking competitive. You got the Dodgers, the D-backs, and the Giants. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, we're pretty fucking competitive with the exception of Oakland. Like, the four other teams are Oakland, right around.
Yeah.
I don't know if the most competitive, but definitely up there, maybe like second or third.
We're about to find out in the next, 6 games?
Yeah.
How gnarly. This is about to be a fucking.
It's going
to
be scrapped.
Yeah, bro. Oh, man, starting tomorrow. It's lights on, boys.
I'm scared.
Everybody needs to turn this up.
Okay, we have a couple more. Ethan at eSabro3. Is Nolan Chanuel on a similar fast track? Like, do they grab a 1-year stopgap first baseman and then plan to platoon Chanuel at some point later in the season? I don't know. That's a good question. You want to say let your guy develop. Fuck it. I mean, like, just we have time. But then you also are like, hey, look at Neto. That seemed to work out okay. The guy was not even AA for – I don't know, a year, you know? So from everything that's been talked about and written about him and whatnot, he seemed like a very polished prospect, first baseman. You know, he was in single A for 14 hours, then gets called up to double A, and he's raking there. So, I mean, if you told me, freaking put my money on it, is he the starting first baseman next year? No, but... Do we see him at some point next year? I'll say definitely. I mean, fuck, if Doomsday, Mad Max Fury Road type shit again, if September comes around, beginning of September, and, like, we're cooked, completely out of it, I mean, I don't know if it's crazy, like, see him come up a little. Actually, I don't know how the service time shit works and manipulation, but, I mean, Perry has clearly shown that he's not scared to bring guys up. So, I don't know. I mean, I would like him to marinate a little more, you know? But if he comes up and he's doing his thing like Neto is, fuck it. And on that note, Javier at J_Munchies, friend of the pod, start, bench, cut, Moniak, Neto, Ohapi. That one's tough.
Yo, what a lineup.
Well, it's tough, but not really. It's tough because we like Mickey Moniak.
Yeah.
The right answer is start Neto, bench Ohapi, cut Moniak, I think. Right? Especially now we don't have
Edgar. Divert to you on this.
We don't have Edgar Caro anymore since we sent him over in the Giolito trade. Yeah, you have to start Neto, shortstop of the future. Ohapi, I mean, fuck, catcher of the future too, but have him on the bench. He can platoon with Dice. And then Mickey Mouse Moniak, I love you, but God bless you. See you later. At Flesh God, I mean, Halo Easy, fuck. Flesh God at Halo Easy. If you were to get dinner with anyone on the team, who would it be?
You.
Let's go.
You, Halo Easy. shit.
You go first.
Oh, that's tough. All right, hold on, wait. I'm going to need a...
I think this is easy for me. Doesn't sound crazy. I think I'd probably go with like Ren Hifo or something.
I can see, yeah.
Because like, knowing him, he'll be like...
Ren Hifo will be tight.
He'll pick up the bill. We'll go to like a steakhouse. He'll pick up the bill and he'll be like, do you want to go get drinks after, Bobby? And I'll say
yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes, I do. What do you think the go-to is for Ren Hifo?
Ren Hifo definitely drinks like a nice, smooth, simple mojito. Just gets the night going.
Just muddle that mint. Yes. Muddle that mint.
I can see him calling for like a couple shots of like Clase Azul or something.
Oof.
And just like I can see him telling them to bring the bottle on. He's just ringing the bell over and over. Like,
I can see him. But, and you're like, oh my god, dude, I have to work tomorrow. Yeah. I'm good.
Hey Luis,
please stop.
I gotta drive. No, Bobby, I get you Uber.
No, Bobby, Uber, black. Okay. Black, Bobby, Nero, Bobby. Yeah. You know what, fucking, so me being, Carl kind of touched on this when we first started this whole thing about me being a fun time to be around, you know, being a good energy around, and I pride myself on that. I've built this, right?
Vibes guy, for sure.
I want to kick it with Shohei so bad, not just because of the notoriety, but because of the obvious, actually, I mean, it's obvious to me, I could be completely wrong, but the obvious kind of introvertedness that he has. Have we ever heard of, you know, Otani being, you know, out and about?
A menace.
Yeah, a menace, just in downtown Santa Ana at Copper Door, just trying to the place down.
There was that, was that tweet of like talking about how someone said he's gonna re-sign because his girlfriend really likes it here, and everyone is like,
"Hey, what?
What fucking girlfriend?"
Yeah, hey, what? Just
going crazy.
So let's just, you know, in a super hypothetical universe, if me and Otani had that kind of rapport where
I like that,
if I invited him out and said, "Hey, bro, we're going out tonight," and then he's like, "Oh,
the flex
God.
Is him saying yes to you."
If like, he said yes, yeah, and yeah. I'm like, "We're going out,"
everyone's probably like, "Shaw, you fucking." There's the running joke with like friend Greg, how the guys are like, oh, this motherfucker don't leave his house, but then for you, you fucking beer Olympics and take your shirt off and get fucking blackout drunk.
Exactly.
So that'd be funny. That'd that's probably what the guys would say about Shohei.
Yeah, I would want that for him. I want that for you, bro.
Kodak Zach at MK Zach, what's your opinion on Kathy's cookies?
The cookies on the way out.
Yeah, they're fire.
They're so fire. And after a long day of
stadium staple.
Yeah. I you know, it's so weird that you mentioned that. Every time I go with somebody that I don't normally go to a game with, I say, yo, we gotta get some of these cookies on the way out. And it's a cookie, and I'm not gonna call it an LA dog, I'm gonna say a bacon wrapped hot dog. So it's bucket of cookies, get the hot dogs, smoke the hot dogs, eat the cookies on the way out.
You know what's fucked up?
On the drive out.
One time the people listening that have kids are going to understand exactly what I'm saying, but I went to a game, and my kid's pretty young, so I went to a game, and I had the green light from my girl saying, like, yeah, go ahead, it's fine, like, don't worry. And then over, like, the course of the few hours, the few days in between when she said yes to, like, the actual game, she kind of is, like, not giving me attitude, but just, like, I don't know if it's the best idea for you to go. Obviously, I go to the game. I'm thinking about it the whole time. I feel bad. I'm like, fuck, she's pissing me. I'm going to go home. I'm fucking cooked. So on the way out, I tried to get her some fucking Kathy's cookies as like a peace offering. Sold out.
Sold out, dude. Cooked. See? Speaks so to him.
My opinion on Kathy's cookies is sell more of them.
Lame.
Please.
Yeah. Make more.
Yeah. Gancito at @Axel_theillest, homie. Pick your dream jersey / hat combination for a 3-game series. So just for time's sake, let's just do one hat, one jersey. Instead of like 3 different ones, which okay. I think we easily could do.
So I actually fucking luckily own both. I have a heartfelt story about my Anaheim Rawlings jersey.
Nice.
From back in the day, I wore it against the Yankees and it was our good luck charm, which was nice. So that is the jersey that I always wanted, and I ended up buying it secondhand at a thrift store. Just so happened to be my side, had a sick mustard stain on it, ended up getting it out. Perfect. But that's definitely my favorite jersey and the jersey that I'd want to wear. Also, coincidentally, because I have the California Angels tattooed on my arm, there's one specific that we wear them for the alternates every once in a while, and they sell them at the stadium as throwbacks. But the California Angels logo, stay with me, California Angels logo, well, obviously with the navy red logo, white outline, but the halo on the California has to be gold.
Okay.
And then the below brim has to be green.
Okay.
So it's that throwback.
So you're going hella throwback.
So super, super throwback. That's my number one favorite hat. At one point in my life, I bought 3, and I had going out hat, I had special occasion hat, and I had an everydayer. So each one was worn, you know, according to whatever occasion I was going out to. But those two things. So my Anaheim Rawlings jersey, and then my throwback, true throwback California Angels hat is what I would wear.
I like it. I think I'm going to go the Angels, it was like around the 2002 time, maybe a little bit after, they would rock those the sleeveless white joints with the red undershirts.
Sick.
I'm going to go full like Cincinnati Reds a couple years ago, wear those with like no sleeves underneath, just be a fucking just menace.
Get delts and thighs just out and about.
And then any one of those like older hats that you're mentioning. Mm-hmm. It's kind of controversial because like the hats and the jersey would be conflicting.
Yeah.
But those sleeveless ones are pretty fucking tight.
They were pretty sick. I'll give you that.
Last couple.
Also, sorry, before we move on from that, you know, the fear of God, like,
yeah,
like the movement that's going on. Yeah, I admittedly rock the fear of God, black and with the white F on it. Sick hat. Enjoy it. They came out with like the MLB clubs, right? So they have, they have a Blue Jays one, I believe. They have a Dodgers one. I want to say they came out with a Brewers one. There was a couple clubs that got their color scheme, Fear of God. The Angels got theirs, and it's so perfect. It's so nice. It has a green under, red bill, has navy, the white F.
Is that kind of conflicting, Angels and Fear of God? Like,
right. And then the fucking little button on the top of the hat.
No.
Is yellow.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, why?
Bye.
Hey, why? It's a $70 hat. Why? Anyways.
At EJM10_junior, our good friend of the pod, a longtime supporter, listener, homie. Why don't we get a seating area where we sit at or hang out at to start chants and make it a thing? It would help with getting fans into it, just saying. And then he put like signed the third guy.
That's like a nice, yeah. Like,
500 third guys, but right. He's definitely one of the third guys. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've officially claimed that Modelo Patio,
yeah,
as the
I've been loving that movement, by that the way.
Turn up spot,
it's so nice.
Kind of like,
yeah,
it's always going to be kind of hard with the ushers, how seriously they take their jobs and how much they want us to like watch our mouth and shit, which is fine. I get it. I think something like that, like you know, how you got. In Tampa Bay, you got like Randy Land, where you got like the, I think, RDT from Baltimore.
Padre Stadium, Petco has a nice one in center field, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
but even like RDT, what's it called? Like the fucking, like the bird bath or some shit where they like spray beer or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
Something
yeah,
like
yeah.
That would be tight, but I think just as long as the ownership is what it is, they're kind of old school. They're kind of stuck in their ways. I don't think they really care to, as long as that revenue's coming in and they're just still cashing checks, like, they're not going to really care what the fan experience is. Like, Artie's like, you get the cheapest beer in baseball. Like, what else do you want?
Do we really have the cheapest beer in baseball?
It's like, up there with, like best prices, something like that.
What?
Yeah, there's, like, there's a crazy stat where it's, like we're up there in terms of, like, most affordable.
That blows my mind. I did not know that. I didn't know that was a real stat because paying $16 for a Coors Light breaks my, I mean, it might not be 16. I think it's 14. But still, that's wild. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's something like that. Something like we have one of the most affordable game experiences or some shit. Dude. And then the last question. Coors Light for $9.99. I know. I really wish I hadn't saved it for last because he's just a piece of shit. But Max says, favorite Angel game memory with Max. What's it like going with him to a game? How are you so lucky to go with him?
Do you want us to answer this question?
I mean, we really could just put it all out there. We could put all the chips to the middle of the table.
Do you want this?
I think probably just for his own well-being, I'm going to go with the day that we wore full uniforms. I think it was
that was pretty cool.
It was opening day, 2021, I believe. We just went with, like, full uniforms. We even took pics at a bus stop, like, earlier that day.
I remember that, too.
We're just, like, we're acting like we got ditched and, like, we need to ride to the game.
Those are the days.
And then we show up, and it was, like, a pretty good. Obviously, when you do something like that, you have to expect the double takes, like, the points, the people taking pictures of you. And he and I are both pretty good at that in terms of, like, fuck it, you know? Like, we chose to do this, you know? Like, this is what's going to happen. But that was probably one of the funnier days. And then we also had a pretty good, there was like an Angels content creator night that we went to. That was pretty cool. They gave us like they did a suite for us kind of thing. With like a bunch of the other content creators. And that was pretty cool. We were just kicking it, met a lot of cool people. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more, maybe not favorite memories, but a lot of memories for sure. Maybe some not memories because the way things go when we go to the stadium. do you have one?
I'm going to, I mean, I feel like I haven't been blessed enough to go with Max.
only a handful
of times. Blessed, yeah, exactly. Blessed being the choice word here. But to more recent memory, the sweep over the Yankees, that was a fun night.
Oh yeah.
Leaving that night fun. And it's so.
Shout out Pinstripe Betty.
Yeah. Shout out Pinstripe Betty. Sorry about that. So on Thursday, leaving the Mariners game, I was walking out as that fucking grand slam happened. Got it from my seat, walking through, you know, whatever the aisle, the hallways of the stadium and that happened. And that feeling that prior to that happening was so high. We're going to go to Taqueria after this. Yeah. We're going to go get tacos. We're going to keep it going and we're going to have a good night and that high. And then all of a sudden that's taken away from you. Well, that Yankee sweep was one of those special nights where you ride that high from the moment that you leave your seat to, you know, the moment that you get to whatever the second destination is after the game. So
we were even ripping Twisted Tees before.
Tees. We were, you know, and shotgunning Twisted Tees shouldn't even be considered a shotgun. It should be considered juice. like a fucking just a gift.
It's a gentleman.
Yeah.
A little gentleman.
It's a beautiful thing. But yes, that sweep over the Yankees, I'm trying to look for what day that was, but that was awesome. That was a good night. I enjoyed it a lot. So that was definitely so far the best game of the season for attending for me.
And opening day 2022 was my favorite.
Opening day was pretty sick. Opening day was fucking fun, dude. This is a good one.
So that's all our questions. I think we've got to all of them. Shit, I mean, it's been a long one. We try to get to everything that we could just to show a little love to the people that fuck with us. I mean, last thing, it'll be a crime to not mention the Jose Ramirez Tim Anderson fight, and then we could kind of wrap it up.
Dude, that fucking slept.
Towards Tim Anderson, I mean, remember we were kind of getting tied to him, like, oh, the Angels need Tim Anderson, and then, like, that was kind of a thing. It was like, we don't fucking need him. We have Zach Neto and blah, blah, blah. You know, poor guy. Plays for the White Sox. They had, like, playoff aspirations. Obviously, he's not going in that direction. And then he has this fight with Jose Ramirez, which
he asked for.
Yeah, but also, like, bro, how does no one come to his aid?
That was crazy, yeah.
How does no one come and just sleep Ramirez, like, from the side? And, I mean, so the stuff comes out the next day or two where he and Grandal got in this argument in the locker room and Grandal went over and slapped them. So, I mean, it's kind of apparent that Anderson is maybe not the most popular, well-liked guy in the locker room, clubhouse, if you will. But I don't know, man. I mean, you just got to – I feel like you got to ride for your teammates somewhere or another. It's kind of like when – like, I know you have brothers. I don't have a brother, but, like, I have people close to me to where it's like, hey, I can talk to you that way. But if someone else fucking talks to you that way, like, it's a wrap.
Yeah, they can't talk to you.
I feel like that's how it should be with, like, teammates and whatnot. It's like a brotherhood and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, Jose Ramirez is on the next Logan Paul, Dylan Danis fight card. He's going to fight – no, I'm just kidding. But no, that was crazy. We haven't seen a fight like that since, I think, Odor and Jose Bautista, like, where they literally dropped.
It's a good fight.
Like, they squared up.
Like,
you
an
know?
Actual – yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Tim Anderson was on the receiving end of it, but hey, it's always fun. I think
what a right hand, dude.
I think there's something to guys fighting in on
oh like, it's the best
in sports,
it's
you know,
the best.
Like, because, you know, think about how much shit they talk. Like, in baseball is very low on the shit talk scale, but like in football, when you see a football fight, you're like, oh, I can only imagine what these cats are saying all game.
So all game they're in each other's head.
I mean, shout out Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson. That was pretty cool. Thank you for
the entertainment.
Thank you for giving us a moment. Yeah.
Thank you for that moment.
But man, it's been a lot of fun. I've had I think we've been going ham for like almost 2 hours now, and Max is going to be pissed. He's going to say, cut this shit.
Yeah.
But
can do.
I mean, hey, I'll see you guys at the stadium next week.
Saturday.
I mean, me and Max will get back on this thing before then, but yeah, August 19th, if you want to tailgate a little bit, hit me up. We got a big, big, some people are going to say it's over. It doesn't fucking matter, but I still say we have a big, big series against the Astros and then against the Rangers. So
yeah, it's going to be nice.
3 in Houston, 3 in Texas, and then back home for 3 against Tampa and 3 against Cincy. So, I mean, 4 playoff teams. If we didn't get tested already, we're sure as fuck going to get tested now. Friday, when this comes out, we got Reed versus Verlander. I mean, literally, off rip, their best pitcher. I mean, 6-game road trip. If we can come out of this thing 4-2, I mean, I'm head over heels. If we go anything less than 3-3, like, because we're at 500 right now after that win against the Giants. If we go anything less than 3-3, I mean, we have to take a serious look in the mirror. And, like, if we haven't already, I mean, like, just consider mailing it in.
Buckle up.
Because 3-3 would put us at 61-61 with, 40 games left. Ah, man, I fucking hate these conversations. But, yeah, I mean, pray for 3-2. Pray for 3-3. Hope for 4-2. Wish for 5-1. You know?
Please.
Like, and fucking hit the lottery for 6 games
after this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, man, that was an episode. That was a nice little, I know it was not the conventional shit you guys are used to, but.
Hope I did okay.
Yeah, Ray, you did great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I mean, follow us on Twitter at CarlCervantes15, at TheRayTorres.
TheRayTorres. That's the same handle on everything.
Yes. At LTBUPod and at MaxACLJordan.
Yes. I just want to say one thing before we finish up here. I know we kind of glossed over it on the way in, but thoughts and prayers to, you know, all the residents of Lahaina, Maui. Yeah, you guys. Anybody that knows me knows that Oahu, Mililani is my second home, and it's Diffin Island, but it's the neighbors, and, you know, we feel for them, and seeing these pictures coming out and the devastation that's happening on the west side of Maui is hard to see, and a lot of those buildings have been around for, you know, since the 1800s, and there's a lot of history that not a lot of people understand that come from those islands, and I feel for them. So, you know, donate, or, you know, kind of spread word as much as you can. Hawaii Community Foundation is a big Instagram to go look at for reputable, you know, donation centers or what have you, or Aina Momona is another one. So if you want to check those out, we feel for those people, and it's tough seeing these images coming out, you know, day after day. I know it's been going on since Tuesday night, so feel for them, and you know, thoughts and prayers, T's and P's to all the people of Lahaina, Maui.
That was an incredible plug. Shout out to the people of Lahaina, Maui. And also, to end on a high note.
Yes, please.
Happy-ish note.
Carl turns 30 on Tuesday.
No.
August 15th.
2011 Cardinals. I see this tweet from Cody Keen at Peachy Keen 94. The 2011 World Series Cardinals, World Series champion Cardinals, they were 10.5 games back in the wild card on August 25th. Yes. And they won the wild
card. Wait, what year was that?
2011.
2011.
Yeah. That was when I graduated high school. I'm fucking washed. I'm washed. They were 10.5 games back in the wild card on August 25th.
Let's go. Let's go.
And they won the wild card. So, I mean, it seems like Tony La Russa, before he became a drunken, belligerent fool,
deservedly
was onto something. But I think I like my chances with Nev a little bit more than with drunken La Russa. So, hey, we're not fucking out till we're out. Call me Slappy. Call me whatever you want. Call me Homer. I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with me, but I'm sure there's a good handful of very nice and reputable people that do agree with me. So, not out till we're fucking out. That's Let's right. try to stack a couple dubs. Crack a couple Twisted Tees. I already Please. Have that palette of Twisted Tees ready for when we defy all odds and, you know, clinch our spot. So why not us, baby?
Just hold on.
Let's go. Just
hold on.
Just keep it going. And I also have this terrible, terrible fear of the Lions play the Chiefs on September 13th.
Wait.
And the Angels play that day too. And I'm just like, if
Do you, both, you got a double header, both that
my
day?
Teams lose that day, I'm fucking, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm out of here. Kermit the Frog jumping out the building. So thank you for listening.
That's a rough day.
Thank you for listening to LTBU. Thank you, Raymond, for joining in.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
We ramble. We try to get to as many questions as possible. Yes. But hey, love you guys forever. Peace.
Yes.